PPI.org.
And thank you for joining Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. And tonight, we are bringing you many things, but we are also asking from you to take part in our ability to stay here and also to bring you the topics and people that we bring you. Feel free to please pledge at 612-375-9030 or kfai.org. My name is Sam. I'm the host and producer of this show. Charlene Dahl is my research team. Hello, Charlene.
Good evening. Happy pledge.
Exactly. And just to show you that we believe in it, Charlene and I pledge too. So we do talk the talk and walk the walk. So we're asking you to please do the same. Tonight we have two people, but that's good. John Scallon will be coming up with us a little later, but first, Ardis Bazin. Ardis is, I think she probably wears several hats, but she's going to talk to us about independent, visually impaired entrepreneurs online business expo. I think I got all that. Good evening, Ardis.
Hello there. Yes, my name is Ardis Bazin. And yes. I am president of the Independent Visually Impaired Entrepreneur Group. I do wear a few other hats. I'm also ACB membership chair, and I'm also first VP of Rendell Shepherd Vendors of America. Plus, of course, lots of committees, but we won't go there.
How did you stumble into ACB? I'm curious.
Well, I lost my sight when I was 20, when I was living in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And when I was at the rehabilitation center, people talked about ACB and how I could become part of the South Dakota Association for the Blind, which is an affiliate of ACB. And that's how I first learned about it. And then I moved to Iowa and went into NFB for a couple of years, and then I
just
went
to test
back
it out,
to
huh? you got to check out both sides. You know, I feel like that is really a valuable thing. If nothing else, it gives you really a true picture of different people and how and the different groups. Unfortunately, the blindness disability group seems to be kind of separated with these. I find it fairly silly to separate too much. I mean, the power is in numbers, right? I think the more you have behind you, the better it is. But there are different philosophies. And so I think that to know what you want to be and be a part of, you need to have some experience with both places, both members.
Well, also, I think if you gravitate toward the one, feel more comfortable with it, you'll be more comfortable advocating with them. And in many cases, the groups do work together to advocate on a lot of subjects. So it's not all one or the other. When we're advocating, it's a lot of times working together.
I hope so. I haven't always experienced that, but it's been a while. I do teach in the blindness community and the disability community, and so I prefer to not be a member of either. And I think that that is, I mean, it provides me a couple things. It provides me an even place to go for my students or clients that want to tell me whatever they want to tell me. And I don't care because I'm not affiliated with anyone. So I don't really have allegiance to anyone. But also provides me the ability to believe what I want and to support what I want. And sometimes I think people get pressured in regards to that. But I digress. Okay, so let's go back to talking about Ivy. So give us a little bit about the idea. How did the idea of Ivy get started?
Okay, Ivy started in 1962 because it was felt that by having special interest affiliates, it might get more people involved in the blindness organization. People who are business owners otherwise might not feel, oh, why should I join an organization of the blind? I'm busy enough in my business. But by having an organization of entrepreneurs, it gives you a place to discuss issues you have, get some training about starting a business, as well as sharing your particular products and services with other members.
So I don't know much about Ivy. Is Ivy actually provide training and stuff like that for people who want to go into their own business and do their own business?
Yes, we do that in several ways. We have an email discussion list, which anyone can join just by sending an email to IVIE+subscribe@acblists.org. And you'll be subscribed, and you can ask any questions you want to know about starting your business, or you can share resources with others on the list if you're an experienced business owner.
Is it a Another heavy traffic way, list? I had to ask, is it a heavy traffic list?
No, it's not. It's not. I'm surprised it doesn't have more traffic. But we also have a monthly entrepreneur exchange call, which is always the second Sunday of the month at 9 p.m. Eastern. So for you guys, it would be 8 p.m. Central. And that call, we talk about different topics, like this month's entrepreneurial topic was on websites, tips people could get about things that they should consider when they're doing their website, or if they want to improve their website, things they could do to make it change. And then other months, we've had topics such as business planning, business ethics, using PayPal, et cetera. There's tons of topics where people could get assistance and training. We also have an occasional book discussion group where we talk about a business book that might be helpful to business owners. And we occasionally have special speakers who talk about a particular business-related topic. In May, we had one on tax planning for business owners.
Ah, okay.
We also, at our summer convention, we have a luncheon where we have either a speaker or panels that discuss business issues. This summer, our topic was selling yourself. So, you know, we have lots of different ways we do trainings. And of course, we're always open to suggestions. If someone comes up with a topic or knows a particular speaker, that would be great. We're always willing to listen and move that forward.
Excellent. So we're just to let people know that we are talking about, scroll my display fast enough. Independent Visually Impaired Entrepreneurs Online Business Expo. That's going to be coming up, also known as Ivy. Artists, I just wonder, I don't want to get into cost and amounts, so, But I want to know, like, do you have to be an ACB member to be a part of Ivy, or can you just be a part of Ivy and pay whatever you guys suggest and not?
Okay. You can be an Ivy member, and if you don't want to participate in the ACB stuff, you don't have to do that. And you can also participate in the Ivy Online Expo, whether you're a member or not. We just have different prices for members than we do for non-members. And for putting on this event, we're actually telling folks that want to sign up, if they're not currently a member and would like to use $15 of their sign up toward membership, we will do that for them. So it gives them an extra special reason maybe to sign up if they're interested in being a member as well.
Are
if
you
they're
guys,
not, if they just want to promote, you know, that's fine too.
Are you guys a 501c3 separate from ACB, or are you linked?
We were at one time. We were linked to ACB's nonprofit status, but then a few years ago, they decided to unlink all the affiliates, and now each one has to get its own 501c3, which we're working on right now.
Gotcha. Well, you know, that works to benefits in some ways too, though. You know, for people who don't want to be linked with something but want to be linked with just your, you know, list, I can see how that would be beneficial for you guys to have your own 501c3. Although I'm sure it's a pain to get it.
So, it does take a lot of time. And that's the key issue.
Who's
one of
qualified?
The benefits, of course, you don't have to send in an annual statement to ACB if you're not under them. So.
Oh, that's true. Who's qualified to participate in Ivy?
Any blind business owner or anyone interested in business ownership. So in other words, if you work for a blind business owner and you'd like to participate and help them more, if you are thinking about starting business, or even if you're thinking about retiring and you're thinking you might want something on the side, Ivy would be a good group for you to join.
So I want to know if, well, first of all, again, I don't want to talk about cost of the expo, but tell us how the expo will work. What can people
do? Our Ivy Online Expo will occur on November 12th from 11:45 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. The Zoom line will open at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Someone will first come on and introduce who the presenters will be for the afternoon. They'll give their name, their business, what the business does, and what time they will be talking, so that people can get on or off the line as they like, and then come back on.
I was going to ask that. Yeah, good.
Right. And we'll send that out to all the lists that we know about. Mm-hmm. And if an individual doesn't think they're on a current list that we might send it to, they can send an email to info@ivy-acb.org, and we can send them a Zoom link so that they can listen to the different presenters.
Excellent. And so
then at noon, we'll start the presentations. Mm-hmm. And most of the presenters are doing just a half hour presentation, but we do have one right now that's doing an hour presentation. And we have room left for 2 half-hour presentations or 1 hour presentation right now. Now we do have a couple who haven't paid yet. So if they don't pay by October 31st, then another opening. So if anyone's interested, I would suggest they get in touch with us as quick as possible so that they can make sure they get on the programs. So.
And so do those slots, are they given out consecutively, though, or can the person choose, like if there's two different times, can they choose the time they want?
In some cases, they can choose, but if that time has already been chosen, then they'll have to take, you know, whatever's left. And of course, the later they sign up, the, you know, the less they might be able to get the time slot they want.
Right.
I know right now we have three that are specific about what time slots they want. The rest of them did not indicate what time they'd like. So when they, you know, I receive their payment, then, you know, they might be more specific, but so far they have not.
Gotcha. So when people come
after the presentations, there'll be a wrap up where people can ask final questions of any of the presenters.
And they'll just basically tell about their business, is my guess.
Yeah, they can describe their products and services. They can give their contact information. They can allow the people on the call to ask questions about their products and services. That way, you know, it's an open line. So they, you know, they can answer people's questions because sometimes it's uncertain, mm-hmm. you know, what a product or service is unless you ask a specific question.
Who's running the meeting?
Okay. Originally I was going to be the one that was going to do the opening. We're introducing all of the people, mm-hmm. but I'm having surgery on November 10th. And I will be in the hospital at least one night, possibly two. So it's unlikely I will be able to do that on Saturday. I might be able to listen in and, you know, do that, but it's doubtful I'll be able to open it up. I might be able to be available at the wrap up. It'll all depend on how I feel.
Yeah. Well, great. We need to take just
so our secretary is actually going to be the person that's going to open, and that's Carla Hayes from Pennsylvania.
Okay. Yeah, I know Carla.
And then our wrap up person at the end of the day is going to be our vice president, which is Teresa Christian.
Excellent. This is Disability and Progress. You're tuned to KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, and Charlene.
Yes.
It's pledge time.
Yes, it is. And we know you love our show, and to keep us going and the station going, we ask you to pledge whatever you can. There's no limit or low. We just have to have it because they got to pay electricity, and none of us get paid, but there's these things, you know.
Yeah, but they do say no dog kibble because our dogs are very particular. So, you know, so it's real money that we want. But 612-375-9030 or
KFAI.org. I'm sorry.
KFAI.org, yes. And we are speaking with our person who is Artis Bazin. Artis is talking about the Independent Visually Impaired Entrepreneurs Online Business Expo that is coming up. And it sounds actually like it'll be great. I'm planning on listening in. I don't know if I can listen to the whole thing, but I do want to kind of know like who's all going to be on, because you never know who you're going to stumble into, so to speak.
That's why when we send out the Zoom information, we'll give the list of presenters so that people know, and we'll put the timeline in there. I know the person introducing will tell you that, but some people might not be able to get in right at the beginning, and if we send it out with the Zoom information, then they'll have it
right
then as well. And I misspoke. Actually, the person that's doing the wrap-up is going to be Marie Brinas from Virginia.
Okay.
We just talked yesterday and tried to said who was going to do what, and I all of a sudden my mind just did a blip. Whoops.
It's interesting the name of Ivy, and the first word in it is independent. And independent seems to come up so often when you are talking about people with disabilities. And I'm just wondering, it feels like it's a you know, people think of independent is something very different. Like everyone has their own idea of what independent is. What is yours?
I think independent is the ability to do things on your own without being directed or led by other people. Unfortunately, as a person with a disability, sometimes it's easy just to follow somebody else, what they tell you to do and what they say and what they tell you you ought to do, especially, you know, when you're younger. So it, you know, it takes a little bit of time to really make yourself, hey, I don't want to be told what to do. I want to do it on my own. I want to get the skills that I can go places on my own, that I can run my business on my own, that I can work on my own, etc. That doesn't mean we don't use other people and businesses to help us. As a business owner, I have a computer tech that I use to help me with some of my computer issues. I have a website designer that helps me with my website. I use other entrepreneurs for reading, driving, and other tasks that I need to accomplish. But I'm the person directing that. I'm the person calling and saying what I need. I'm the person that decides when I want that done, etc. So I think that's the basic difference, is that you're the one in control.
Do you feel like the level of independence has to do with how successful that person is within their business?
Not necessarily. I've seen some very independent people that don't have an idea how to run a business. They don't have a clue. So I don't think that successful in a business is necessarily would make a person more independent. Now it might make it easier for them to be more successful if they're independent.
You are a motivational speaker, if I'm correct, yes?
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It's interesting because when I was in junior high and high school, I was very shy. I did not like to get up in front of a group, and I didn't like to really go out there and extend myself too much. But once I lost my sight, I realized I couldn't just stand in a corner and wait for things to happen.
Nobody comes
I
to
realized
you.
I had to get out there, ask questions, find out what I wanted to do in order to move forward. Then once I was out there and I got into my first business through the Rendell Shepherd program, I was asked by a school if I could come in and talk about blindness and what a blind person needs to learn and do in order to be out in the community. And I started doing that for various schools. And then I got asked by, you know, different churches to come and talk about my disability and how I did things. And then, of course, there I could, you know, share my faith. But beyond that, I started speaking for blindness organizations, business organizations, especially once I got out there to network with people, got involved in the Chamber of Commerce, got involved in some business networking groups and other community groups. And I think it's very important to be part of the community, to join different community groups. Or attend them if you don't want to join them, pay the dues. You can still attend so many a year without being a member.
So what has doing this motivational speaking done for you personally?
Well, it's helped people to know that I'm a confident person, that I'm a capable person, and that I could handle their needs if they want to do business coaching or consulting with me, or if they just want to feel like they have someone come into their group to make people feel like they can do anything. They can do anything they want if they just have a desire, have a positive attitude, and get that kind of a motivation behind them. Because motivation is what gets us all going. And if we're not motivated to go to work that day, if we're not motivated to try anything new, it's not going to get done.
It seems like now I see and hear a lot, I think especially lately, about people wanting to start their own business. And you know, and I know that it takes a lot more than just wanting to start, even though that's a start. What if you could tell somebody one thing that you felt was a factor in a success of a business, what would you say?
Resources. Resources is the key. And that doesn't just mean money. That means having people in your household who are willing to back you and say, hey, that's what we want you to do. Knowing different agencies and organizations that can help you. SBA has a lot of programs that help business owners. They have a wonderful website where you can get a business planning guide. And there's lots of other resources out there. There's grants you can get from state agencies for the blind or other disability organizations, as well as loans that you can get for specific businesses. So there's lots out there, but resources, you know, that's key.
Right. I think a lot of people too, they get nervous. They want to start a business, but they get, you know, they're a lot, many people, although not all, are on this, you know, disability, social security for disability. And that can be intimidating if they're not sure, like, how much can they make? How does this, you know, reflect on how, you know, are they going to be able to do anything? Or do they want to try to keep it within bounds to keep their social security? So all those things, I think, how do they get those answers?
Well, there are lots of programs. There's PASS programs where you can put money aside to help you move forward. There's ABLE programs, which are savings programs, where you can put money aside for savings, which won't hinder your what you're taking in for SSI or SSDI. And there's lots of business-related expenses, mm-hmm. both, you know, actual expenses, of course, which are going to take your earnings down, as well as disability-related expenses. And some of those aren't even like anything that you're paying out. For example, if you have a person in your household that is assisting you with your business and you don't pay them, that can be deducted as if you paid them for Social Security purposes. And there's other blind-specific related deductions that you can make before it it's on your gross profit for them to, you know, when you have to turn in and tell them how much you make. And let's face it, it takes a long time to build up your business.
Right.
So if you don't have any capital at all, about the only business you could possibly be successful doing is a network business, which is like your Party Light, your Mary Kay, Melaleuca.
Yep, those type of, yeah.
Right. And, you know, and there's quite a few of them out there. And a lot of those provide your upfront what you need for sales. And that will help you get started without having a lot of money. Plus, if you've been in a field, you've worked a long time, let's say you've worked for a computer company or you've worked for other companies where you've gathered skills, you might be able to work for a blindness company that sells blindness-related products. In fact, most of the people that work for blindness-related product companies are blind. I mean, they have some sighted people that work there too, of course, but they do have a lot of blind people that work there. And they're considered entrepreneurs because they're basically contractors and they have to, you know, pay their own taxes and do their own, you know, that kind of thing.
Gotcha. Yes, indeed. So I just think that we should take a step back and do another recap and let people know that you're tuned to KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis, and this is KFAI in Disability and Progress. We're speaking with Artis Bazin. Artis is talking about IVY, or the Independent Visually Impaired Entrepreneurs Online Business Expo. That's a mouthful. The IVY is, I think it, actually it's a great name for something like this. I want you to give the information once more for how people can find out more about this expo that's coming up.
Sure. People can contact me, Artis Bazin. I'm the president of IVY, and my number is 818-238-9321.
You might give that again.
Or you can 818-238-9321. Or you can email info@ivie-acb.org. That's our IVY email address. Or you can go to our website where there's a flyer on that that tells you all about it. And the website is ivie-acb.org.
So lots of ways to get in touch and lots of ways to find out how you can become somebody who is either sporting their services on the Expo or just listening in.
That's right.
So if you had to give one piece of advice yourself for something you've learned, so first of all, you kind of have your own business. If you're motivational speaking, is this your business?
Yes, I've had my own business for many, many years. I first was in the Randall Shepherd program, so I had food service businesses. And then after I got my master's in education, I switched my business to Bazin Communications, where I do speaking, business coaching, and consulting, as well as writing. And I've been doing that business for 22 years.
Wow. So if you were to yourself, something that you had to learn hard, and what would you tell somebody to make it a little easier for them going through having their own business and trying to get it started and going?
Ask others. Find mentors that are doing similar things, or listen to lots of podcasts, read lots of information on the internet, but basically ask others, because that networking is so vitally important.
Well, Artis, thank you so much. I really appreciate you being on. And good luck. And if somebody doesn't beat me to it, I might be calling you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. And good luck with the IVY Expo.
Thanks. And I appreciate being on.
We do want to remind you as well that we are not only are we live, if you pinch us, it'll hurt. We are also podcasted. And so everything that we do, we have this trusty podcast person, Aaron. Thank you, Aaron, for all the stuff you do. And he puts our podcasts up there and makes them really nice and labels them for me. And it's just nice to have that. You know, that will be something that stays forever, hopefully, and that people can access.
And we're all over the world. We are not just Minneapolis.
That's right.
We are all, I've had people all over the country say, oh yeah, I caught something, because they happen to be slugging around the internet and they've stumbled on one of our shows. And so how cool is that?
That is an awesome feeling. So without any further ado, though, walk over there and make your pledge. KFAI.org or 612-375-9030. John, are you with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
We can hear you now. Yes, we can. Thank you for coming to join us. John is our trusty person. When I need to talk about things, you know, he just kind of appears and brings all of his knowledge, which he has much. And I would just want to talk about a couple things that have been going on lately, because we've had many, many, many people over the years. I want to start out on the show, and you know, you don't always know what happens to them, because you just think they'll keep coming back to talk about their next adventure that they put out or do. And when you hear that they're gone, it's really, really sad. So we had lost a couple people. John, you probably know dates better than me. So do you want to talk about who has been recently lost?
Well, I know that one person who has been on your program a number of times is a Minneapolis writer named Bruce Ario.
That's right.
And Bruce died in the first week of August after a fall in his home. So that was totally unexpected. Bruce was about 67. He was born in Virginia, Minnesota, and he became a member of the disability community when he had a car accident and sustained a head injury.
Yes.
And that landed him in a mental health ward because he was having visions and hearing voices and so on. But he did graduate from college. He went to law school for a while, eventually ended up working for Tasks Unlimited in Minneapolis. He was there for, goodness, 30 years or so.
And he was a writer. He actually wrote several books and was on our show at least, two or three times. You know what? Meeting Bruce, I didn't know Bruce well. I knew him, you know, when he came into the station and I interviewed him. But what was really cool was my dog is giving input. So what was really cool about him is he would occasionally just send me these really nice cards via, you know, online. And it might be like an Easter card or a Christmas card or just a thoughtful, nothing stocky or whatever, but just a nice thoughtful card letting me know that he still thought, you know, was grateful that the show was here and that, you know, just very pleasant person. So I will miss those cards, Bruce. And I'm sure there are many people who will miss him. Also, I don't know when we lost him, but Tim Benjamin, right?
Yes, people might remember Tim Benjamin as a publisher of Access Press, which is the disability community's newspaper. He did that for almost 20 years.
And do you know when he died?
He died in July 18th. He had retired in the last year or so.
Right.
And I know that over the last few years, especially with COVID, you know, he was among the many people who had difficulty finding caregivers. He became a quadriplegic in 1974 with a spinal cord injury. So, but he met the founding editor of Access Press, Charlie Smith, early on, and later, after Charlie died, Tim took over as the publisher. So he was, you know, you could always see him at the Accessibility or Disability Day at the Capitol, speaking and having his staff take pictures. So he was really a good advocate for the community.
And there's another one, Pat Young, is that right?
Pat Young was another person who, like with Bruce Ario, who attended our monthly Artists with Disabilities meetings, which were in person for a while and have been on Zoom for quite a while. She was a writer, very much apparently a disability advocate. She wrote for The Alley in the Phillips neighborhood, for Access Press. She was a community editor for the St. Paul Almanac. She wrote for the Phoenix in the Phillips neighborhood. So she wrote about her life as a person who used a wheelchair for most of her life and was in severe pain. And she had so many medical issues, but she wrote about them. She maintained her humor. And she, most recently, she was a member of a little writing group at the Ebenezer community. So she shared stories about her life there.
And I feel like I should have known her. I'm sad to say we do get a lot of people that come to the show. I'm happy about that. I'm not sad about that, but it just gets to be a lot. It's like if they don't kind of stay in contact, you don't always remember, like, what did that person do again? So nothing personal. Do you remember what she wrote? Is there anything that stands out?
Pat Samples in the Twin Cities was sort of the writing leader of that group, and she shared some writings of Pat Young that were poetry and also just fun memoir stuff. I don't have one right in front of me, but she used one poem in which she did sort of a 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, and each of the numbers stood for how many times she had some disability experience.
Aww.
So it was really kind of fun. Wow. to listen to.
I'm sure a lot of us could relate to that.
Yeah. Another writer that I had known briefly, who has died recently, David Beebe, B-E-E-B-E, from Minneapolis. He was frequently a performer with the Artists with Mental Illness who did their stories for Vail Place. And they worked for a number of years with History Theater people and performed on the History Theater stage. And David was one of the ones who wrote about his life. He published several books. He was really a brain. He knew so much, and he was able to make that come through in his stage performances too.
Wow. You know, he was supposed to be on the show, and I never heard. I was in contact briefly, and then I hadn't heard from him for a while. That's what happened. Okay. That's sad.
That's what happens.
When did he die?
Just in the last 2 months. Oh. I know his funeral is coming up, I think, on November 9th. So.
Yes, I think he knew
Bruce. We'll learn more about him then.
I think him and Bruce were associated. I think they knew each other fairly well.
Yes, I think you're right.
Because Bruce is the one who suggested him. Aw, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, life gets too short, and we need to really keep in contact with each other. I feel like the COVID has really made it harder for people to, in some ways, to stay in contact. But we do, I think people need to kind of make sure they reach out more. I'm me included. So, John, you'll be hearing from me. I'm trying to decide how often now I want to.
Uh-oh.
I know, uh-oh. Right? I forgot to add, the person has to want to hear from you. Why don't you talk about Open Flow? Open Flow, that's been known as several things, but now they're Open Flow. And
This is a group of artists with disabilities. It's statewide, but for many years it's basically been metro area artists with disabilities who met in person each month, the first Thursday of every month. For many years, it was at Walker Church and then Carlton Artist Lofts. But since COVID hit, we've been meeting by Zoom on the first Thursday of every month. And just recently, we started to sort of do meetings that were either by Zoom or in person at Springboard for the Arts. And Springboard has sort of become the helping to be the facilitator of this group. So if you're an artist with a disability, a writer, performer, visual artist, whatever, if you come to these meetings and we want you to share something that either you've written or created, talk about it a little bit and network with other artists. And it's one of the ways that has made it possible for people to, you know, keep doing their art and keep getting feedback on their art since COVID hit.
And that
so
is
it's really
pretty
been
cool.
Really nice.
That is something that is cool. That's fascinating to me is there are a number of things that were just local that now were made much more wide and diverse because of it. You know, more people belong and it's a wider variety of people because they can reach out from anywhere. And they've kind of kept some groups have kind of kept that they want to be able to have both a presence of virtual and, you know, live or whatever you want to call it, in person. Except I think you missed the food. Do they still have food at Open Flow? Because
I do miss the food. Yes, yes. Everyone
well, they
would be.
Did,
you know,
Charlene. Charlene's laughing. They did have food. I remember coming and eating, especially when somebody made really good banana bread. Was it banana bread? Some kind of bread.
Banana bread, popcorn, good chocolate. It was wonderful.
Exactly. So you laugh, but the truth of it is many people came for the food. Oh, yeah, and the entertainment was fun to hear. Right.
If people wanted to attend, they could, if they have email, I would suggest that they email openflowmn@gmail.com. So it's openflow, F-L-O-W, M-N, @gmail.com. And that goes to Andy at Springboard for the Arts, and he'll put you on the email list. And then you'll get a notice about when it is, which is at 7 o'clock, first Thursday of every month.
And so if you're virtual, if you're coming from like, excuse me, St. Cloud or Bemidji, and you want to be in on that, you'll be in with everyone else who's there in person. You'll just share the same, but you'll be in virtual, correct?
Yes. So he'd send you a Zoom link, and that's been really fun because before when we were having live meetings, you know, nobody from Greater Minnesota could come. So now we do have people from St. Cloud area and Duluth and other places. So that's expanding our disability community.
And do you know about how big Open Flow is now?
I'd say over the past year, maybe it's quite small, but maybe at the most 20 different people have been on. Maybe each week it's maybe about a dozen. So there is time for over a two-hour period for most people to share something about their art and get some feedback. So it's very informal, very welcoming, very supportive.
And have you guys thought about reaching out further than Minnesota, or is there a particular reason why? Or are you reaching out further, or are you staying just Minnesota based?
That's a good question. I don't think there's anything that would prevent that. You know, especially if it's by Zoom,
right?
That would be good.
Yeah.
We realize that there are a few artists outside of our boundaries, so we might like to get to know them, and if they live in the Bahamas, you know, maybe we'd like to have them invite us to visit them.
Wow, there's that. Okay, yes. So tell us again how people can get involved if they want to belong or hear or just be invited to the Open Flow to see what it's like.
Yes, if you have email, I would email openflowmn@gmail.com. And or if you want to call for Andy at Springboard for the Arts, his number is 651 294 651-294-0907. So it's 651-294-0907. And then you get on the mailing list or he'll call you back.
Excellent. So, John, don't forget to pledge. Yeah, we're supposed to...
How do I do that, Sam?
Why, you would do that by going to kfai.org, or you could call 612-375-9030. But since you're on with me now, it's probably easier to just click on over to that kfai.org/disabilityinprogress. Of course, you want to pledge to our show, but hey, it all kind of goes into a pot and we all get... It gets used how it gets used, but it's good to know who's supporting the shows. So
besides telling them how much money we can contribute, can we offer a comment saying something like, boy, that Charlene and that Sam and that disability program, boy, are they good. And you need to have them on every week. Oh, you are on every week. Oh, that's great. Well, then, and maybe you should make it worldwide. Oh, you are worldwide. Oh, that's great.
Exactly. So yes, you can comment, you can give whatever you can afford. You know, we don't sit and say you have to give a certain amount. We are happy with what you can do. So, John,
and every week that you tune in, you can hear Sam play the marimba and the xylophone. It seems like she's going faster and faster with that theme song every week. So tune in and listen to Sam play that stuff.
Right. How did you know that was me? Charlene, I tried to tell her it was. She didn't believe me, but, you know. Oh, well. So, John, we always appreciate you that you come on. I may have a spot for you next week if you have time. So I'll call you later. But we could give people an idea of what's coming up maybe next week if you have time.
Yeah. And in the meantime, if I may just mention to people that if they're looking for upcoming accessible activities, in other words, arts or cultural events that have accessibility accommodations for them, they should go to the Minnesota Access Alliance website, because it's got, since COVID is drawing back, we hope, it's got lots more events out there, and there are a whole bunch this fall. And the website is calendar is NZAR, calendar.mnaccess.org. And it's got dozens and dozens of things going into next year. calendar.mnaccess.org.
All right. Thank you so much, John. We really appreciate it.
You bet.
Well, Charlene, this has gone fast, but I just want to let everyone know that you can still have time to pledge 612-375-9030, or you can go to
kfai.org.
You know, I want to thank you too, Charlene. You've been with me for a little while now, so it's always more fun with more than one, and I'm sure that you've met a lot of people and gotten to read a lot of their books and learned about a lot of stuff.
It has been a really good experience for me to do this. So, and I appreciate your pushing me into it.
I did kind of push, didn't I? But it's been fun. So thank you very much. And feel free to support us, 612-375-9030 and kfai.org. Remember, we are podcasted, and you can hear us. All the podcasts are up there. There are many. Please feel free to go and browse that and check them out, because they're a lot of fascinating things. And if you want to be on our email list, you can email me at disabilityandprogress@samjasmine.com. This is KFAI 90.3 FM Minneapolis and KFAI.org. This has been Disability and Progress, where we bring you insights into ideas about and discussions on disability topics. The views expressed on this show, well, for pledging, they are probably KFAI's and their board of directors. My name is Sam. I'm the host of this show and the producer. Thanks, Aaron, for podcasting for us. Thanks, Charlene, is my research team. Good night, Charlene.
Good night.
And keep the pledges coming.
KPI.org.